You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at WeAreLibertarians.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at WeAreLibertarians.com.
Welcome to the Boss Hog of Liberty. This is episode number 299 of East Centralized Favorite Podcast. I'm Jeremiah Morrill. Today I'm joined by tech support, executive video, audio producer, engineer, Zach Burcham, who thinks he might maybe possibly
I might have fixed
one of the many echoes in the live stream. But if not, we'll always tell you that the podcast will sound fine. Also, my forever co-host, Mr. Dakota Davis, who has planned this entire show completely. What do we have in store for episode 299, Dakota?
Today's episode features Mr. Travis Thompson. Travis is back here again, and he is representing TNT Endurance Sports. We're going to be talking to Travis and Zach about kicking off the month of May, the Indianapolis 500. You know, that's a big month around here. Jeremiah's taking pictures of my legs.
These are for the patrons only.
And we're going to be talking to Travis also. He has a bunch of updates about the Newcastle mini marathon. He's got some medals on the table. We're going to be showing those off. And and we're also going to be going over the routes. And then also we're going to talk a little bit at the end about the Newcastle Bicentennial for the year 2023. So stick around until the end of the show. You don't want to miss it.
The show is about our lives in rural Indiana. We're here to push your boundaries and make you think. As individuals, sometimes we provoke you, other times we make you laugh, but hopefully you'll always learn something new. We are learning how to make a podcast sound adequate on the internet. Efforting. Hashtag efforting. Yep. Dakota, we just did 25 minutes in Patreon. Let's see. We talked about audio equipment, Willie Nelson, basketball jams, dimensioning refrigerators, and Gordon Lightfoot.
And tattoos.
Not in that order.
If you're a patron, you're going to get some pictures, some candids that I just snuck of Dakota with him barely noticing. Barely. I've known Dakota since he only had one tattoo. That's how long I've known this man. How many you got now? 77?
17.
How do you count?
Depends on how many you count the sleeve.
I was going to say, how do you count the sleeve? How do you know where one begins?
I count the sleeve as four because that's how many
four
days
seatings.
I was in the chair. Yep.
How many times did you pass out for the sleeve?
None. The sleeve was relatively easy, except for this inner elbow part.
Yeah. And, except for and where the track marks are?
This part, yeah. All that inner part of the arm is really bad. So, yeah.
No,
I guess we're talking
remorse,
about
though.
The tattoos. You love
every one of them.
I'll give a shout out to my two favorite artists right now. Zach Lohorn from Alien Earth Tattoo Studio in Cambridge City, Indiana. And then Mr. Dakota Hart, who is in Newcastle, Indiana, Underdogs Tattoo Gallery. They're both great.
That's awesome. All right. Let's see. We just did Patreon. Got to say thank you to the wonderful Christy Avery. Your Norwex dealer up in Fort Wayne, Indiana, John Phillips, Andy Moore Buick GMC, and also John Phillips for city council. There was no primary in Newcastle this week.
There was not.
So John has advanced.
That's right.
He will be on the fall ballot, and I believe he's selling T-shirts.
Congratulations, John. You won the primary.
Congrats, John. You have won the race. and Anthony Meyer, who is delivering memes all over North America for the people.
Memes and, I think, cabinetry?
Sure. It's either cabbage or cabinetry.
Something.
You got to welcome a new patron, too. I don't think we've officially done that yet.
Travis Isaacs?
Yeah, I don't think we gave him a welcome.
We gave him a shout out. Travis Isaacs, that's right. He joined the club at patreon.com/BossHogOfLiberty. That means that Travis now has access to the show notes before the show ever starts. He gets access to a Facebook group that is only for Patreon members. He gets access to a bonus episode that we record with our guests every week. We make them sit through our random stories from the week that we've been off. You suffered through that, Travis. You did good.
Yeah, it was fine. It's good. I love it.
And
calms his nerves.
Get all kinds of different goodies. Sometimes we send you gifts. I don't think that Travis has received a gift yet. We haven't done a promotion like that. So we're probably due for one. That's what that means.
We have to figure something out. We have some new stickers.
That's right.
That potentially could go out. They look good on laptops, cell phones.
I still have plenty of black envelopes that we use to send out the chapstick.
Now, I have some new merch on the way that I have custom ordered and had custom designed.
It's true. I saw it today.
By the Dainty Daisy. I have been rocking my Boss Hog OG cup for 3 years, maybe two, but I think probably closer to three. It has been my daily driver.
You're the ultimate product tester. You're rough on stuff.
I have dropped that cup more times than I would care to admit. I think I've gone through three lids, and I have it. What happens is that I get a lot of stuff in my hands, and I drop things. Or I will put it in my backpack and think, oh, yeah, that'll stay in there. And it is such an enormous cup. I can take that cup and a little thermos, and I can fit an entire pot of coffee in it. And it gets me through until lunch.
So,
But it was well worn, so I had to order a new one.
To give you a little insight, they repaved our parking lot out here outside of the studio, and there's a decent sized lip now from the sidewalk up to the parking lot. Mm-hmm. And Jeremiah saw it. The first thing he said was, "Oh, I'm rolling my ankle on that."
Dude, today in my own driveway, there is a 3/4 inch crack in my driveway. After work, I finish work for the day, and I'm like, I'm going to cut my grass. I walk outside. I catch the crack in the driveway just well enough to roll my ankle completely.
Is this a common theme?
All the time. All the time.
Yeah, sounds like it.
It happens. My brother's just as bad. He has horrific ankles, too. But he can blame it on playing 6 years of high school basketball. He should have been four, but he was just slow enough to make it. Got a couple red shirt years, but it happens every damn time. So anyway, long story, even longer. Audrey has custom made me the most incredible, yellow and black, red, Pennzoil yellow submarine Boss Hog of Liberty cup. It's not Pennzoil. It's actually going to have the wing and wheels on it. But they got the sweet Boss Hog logo on it. It is going to be spectacular. And all for the low, low price of $499, she is going to have me a custom cup.
Yep. It looks pretty nice. Like I said, I saw she had it out there turning today. I took a look at it.
I'm excited. She's done cups for Zach. Zach's over there rocking his Top Sail Boss Hog cup. Or it's IMS. I don't think it has Boss Hog on it.
It's Top Sail and IMS.
Yeah. He doesn't actually want to admit that he knows us outside of here. But me, I got the Boss Hog logo because I'm proud of this place. So they can. What other merch can she make?
My phone was ringing.
T-shirts.
I don't know what day it is. Yeah, she can make anything really. She's got a T-shirt press, so she can do that. You know, if you want a cup to match Jeremiah's, you can get the exact same one.
It looks very much like Rick Mears. It looks very much like Scott McLaughlin, Elio Castroneves, Johnny Rutherford. It is spectacular. I said, here's a race car. Is your inspiration. Go have at it. She does a great job.
Yep. And she, one thing about, like, to brag on her a little bit is she's super good about when someone orders a cup and they say, like, here's kind of an idea, and you just run with it. She's really good about being like, okay, sending pictures along the way, being like, at this point, you can still change stuff, but this is what it looks like. This is what it's going to look like. And giving people an opportunity to change things around before it's permanent. It's like, because if you order stuff, sometimes you don't get that option. And it's just like, there it is.
Well, oh, okay. And this show is the official Lap 69 sponsor of the AMR
66.
Grand Prix. Yeah, sorry, Lap 6. We tried for Lap 69. Not nice. Couldn't get it. We're the official sponsor of Lap 66 of the AMR GP.
Yeah.
So that was the...
That's on the cup.
That's on the cup as well. I was like, if we're using the Wing and Wheel logo, we're gonna tie these in together.
There's a oval that says Lap 66 sponsor, and then there's a Boss Hog Liberty Bug underneath it.
That's amazing. All right, enough talking about my cup. Dakota, mm-hmm. What do you have planned for this show today?
All right, Travis, you're back. We had you on in January, and at that time we were trying to catch all the New Year's resolutioners to make a resolution to run a mini marathon this year, or maybe even just a 5K, mm-hmm. Or run or walk, whatever. Like you said back then, it was this isn't a mini marathon. This is a race for everybody.
It is, yeah. At
any level in your journey, you can walk, run, whatever, many different levels. But we wanted to talk to you. Or whenever you reached out, you mentioned that you were going to be doing the One America Mini Marathon at the Indy 500 Festival. And it was like, I know exactly the guy that you can talk to about this because. Zach, I think this is what your 16th year doing.
So. I think my first year was 2008. Wow. I think.
So did you just start running in 2008?
No, I started running in like 2005, like very casually, and I think I did a couple of 5Ks before. And like by a couple, I think I would do like the Black Cat, the YMCA in the fall. And I don't know if I did any other races really. I think I might have done. Moreland 5K at some point. That one's a horrendous nightmare of trying to sell. It's because it's in August. It's a great race, but it's in August. And then I was like, I want to do a half. And at that point, the mini was still selling out every year. So I was just like training just to train or whatever. And my wife you had to buy a bib off of somebody, which they could do back then. You could transfer bibs. And I think she found me a bib on about 10 days notice.
So would you have to just apply for a lottery to get in, or how would you
before? I think it was kind of like first come, first serve. And so you just had a real incentive to sign up like right after the race had concluded. Like I was at the expo today and they had signups for next year already. And I think they would warn you like any race, you'll get emails. Oh, where this many spots left or this many spots are left. And it's just encourage you to get in early and sign up for it. So,
you can't transfer bibs anymore.
No, because if it's not sold out, they won't you transfer bibs.
Because I had a coworker who signed up, and his feet are giving him real bad issues, so he's not going to be able to run it. And he offered it to me, and I was seriously kicking it around. But
you'd have to run it as him. What he can do is if you don't want to try it, is a lot of times, if you can get a doctor's note, you can apply for a medical deferment, and they'll basically just take your entry and kick it for a year. So that can happen for people that get hurt. Sometimes they'll get a medical deferment.
Well, so yeah, Travis, I wanted to let you come in here because we do a big every
day. Medically defer this year's race. I rolled my ankle this morning, and I just don't think we're going to recover in time.
Just push that off a year.
The month of May in this podcast is always centered around the Indianapolis 500. There's an episode in a couple weeks that I usually am busy and can't make it. It's the episode right before the 500.
Yeah.
You'll be our producer this week. And, this time.
So anyway, it was you reached out to me about coming on this one, and it was like, oh, that's actually like, that's perfect to kick off the month of May. So, yeah, I wanted to let you talk to Zach about, because you've not done it, but you've done many marathons in the past.
Yeah, I've done five.
up to this point, but I have never done the Indy Mini. And it's something that, you know, they usually televise the Indy Mini, or they have in recent years. You can see people coming across the finish line, and just, you know, now that I've done some, I just can't imagine, I guess, the atmosphere that's at that place. And
this is your 16th.
Yes.
You're getting up there in years. It's time you win one, or you're going to start to sound like your Ed Carpenter.
Oh, there's no winning those. You should see, I would like to the fastest people finish in like the hour and single digits, hour and 5 hour, four, kind of depends on the weather. One of the first years I did it, one of the most defeating things that's ever happened to me in a race was I was about halfway is when you're at the track, and I was coming out of the tunnel, and they had the jumbotrons on, and on the jumbotrons was the finish with the winners. And I was not halfway done yet, and they were done. And I was like, that is horrible. And they shouldn't do that to me. But because it was replays. It wasn't just the finish. They were replaying the finish. Those guys were done, and their heart rate was probably already back down in the 50s before I even got on the racetrack.
So. The winner, I've been following this guy. His name is Mark Bell. I don't know if that rings a bell for anybody. If you look him up on Instagram, his Instagram handle is Mark Smelly Bell. And he's a guy, he lost a lot of weight. Got really into fitness, became a world-class power lifter. Then he became a professional bodybuilder. And then his newest thing has been running. And it just happened. I've been following him for years, but him starting running also happened to coincide with me starting running. So that's been fun. Yeah. But he just did the Boston Marathon. And the winner of the Boston Marathon was like a 4 minute and 40 something second pace for the whole thing.
Yeah. That's unbelievable.
That race is impressive. You can't set a world record at Boston because it's a point to point. Was then like the following week was London. And at London, a guy was like, something like 20 or 30 seconds off the world record. And the most impressive thing was he went sub 1 hour for his second half.
Okay.
Oh my God.
A world record, it can't be a round trip.
It has to be the race has to start and finish within, I can't remember what it is, but there's a certain distance.
Okay,
to
so
start
Boston.
Finish. Boston is a point to point.
Well, how the hell are you supposed to get home?
The bus, or you have people there. But yeah, Boston is not qualified. Boston is not qualified for world
Well, records. That's the second strike up against the
Boston that's one reason why they've done a great job to make it as big as it is for other reasons. It's just its own entity. It's its own thing. But yeah, you can't set a world record at Boston. But yeah, the guy at London, and they set all kinds of wacky world records, but the guy who won London was within the same minute of the world record, which I think is like 2:01 and change or something.
And that's going to be my...
But the most impressive thing was that his second half was under an hour. So he went like 59:27 or something insane for the second 13.1, not the first. And ideally, if you're really good, you're negative splits, which means you're finishing faster than you started. And to finish a marathon under an hour is insane. Just absolutely staggering. Yeah, those guys are running so fast. You'll see some guys will jump out and run. Like I did at Boston a few years ago, kind of infamously, ran out and tried to hang with the lead group just to get on TV, and then they blow up in like 2 miles because that's all they've got in them. And those guys are in good shape to even keep up, but they're in the fours.
Yeah, that's nuts.
My Jumbotron moment happened at I did the Carmel half marathon, and there is a full marathon at the same time. They go off at the same time. And I was at mile 12 of the half marathon, and there was a bicycles just flying in a pack around this runner. And he was the lead marathoner.
And he was beating you.
And he beat me. Yeah. And it's like, this is really bad. But his running was just, I've never seen anything like it.
What's even worse is they pass you and they don't think they're trying. They're like, they're effortless when they're running. But yeah, that could happen. That could happen at the Monumental. Cause they almost always finish together, but
so the Indy 500 Festival's mini marathon on their website, it says that more than 20,000 people are in that race every year.
Yeah.
It sells out.
It used to be 30, 35. So it's one of the problem is it's one of those things. It's like a bucket list thing. A lot of people do it once. And then I saw a post today from somebody I know who's like, did it once, never want to do it again. For me, it kicks off a month of May, so I could do it every year. And so there are a bunch of people that do it every year, but it's hard to get people, I think, to come back. But it is, if it starts on Washington Street, and for people familiar with downtown, it's right in front of the State Museum, like the Idle Jorg and the JW Marriott. And it stretches. As a matter of fact, I think now that the corrals stretch around the corner,
they go up north. I was looking at this yesterday at our office because apparently Comic Con is happening the same day or some.
Yeah, I saw them. Yeah.
And the guy was like, I don't know where to go. He was very concerned. I'm like, hang on, I can look at the website. And it looked like there were multiple street closures in the north south streets where I assume they're doing all the corrals on like West Street, the Capitol, Illinois.
So it runs. So it runs Washington Street, and I think I was at White River Parkway or something like that. It runs along the river, goes there, turns Michigan Street to Holt to 10th to Main Street and Speedway, into the track, out of the track.
Pull over your cars if you're listening and pulling.
Yeah, and if you know, there's a road that kind of weaves around by a fuel depot that's over there that takes you from 16th to back on the Holt, and then you get on 10th Street again. So the course actually goes through 10th and Holt twice, 10th Street back downtown, back on White River Parkway, and then a left onto New York. And so New York, it ends right before West Street. So, and it starts at West and Washington Street.
Does anybody jump in the canal after it's over?
No, you're kind of far from the canal. Not on purpose. I could totally see somebody staggering because it's a bit of a downhill right there, and there's porta pots. I'm shocked I haven't been a porta pot ended up in the canal, but not that I've seen, but I don't go over by there.
I feel like somebody like Dakota could do a celebratory canal dip. It's not that far.
Whatever park it is. There's a park right there at New York and West, and that's where like the post.
Is it Military Park?
Yeah. But they that's where the post race party is, and so it's one of its borders is a canal.
Yeah, so I feel like I avoid Pat McAfee it and do a canal dip.
Any kind of like the worst thing. One of the worst things about where the post race thing is that the curbs going into that park are like 7 or 8 inches, and you really, my wife could take video. I'll stop and really stare at that step for a minute before I go up it or before I go down it because it takes a real effort, especially going down.
Last year, the video, you looked pretty dead after the race. Or maybe it was the year before. You needed some reviving.
I pride myself on putting a hurting on myself.
Laying in the grass, completely spent.
Yeah, that's generally my goal. If somebody passes, and I'm never saying to anybody, everybody runs their own race, but if somebody passes me flying at the end, I want to yell, you saved too much. Like, you screwed this race up. You should not have anything left at the end of the race. And a slacker that comes blowing by me at like a 2 hour half, he probably had a 150 in him if he's able to sprint the last part of it. It's like, you saved too much, buddy.
So do you have a goal time?
I like to be sub 2. We'll see. It's been a rough training session. I don't know. You probably haven't heard. I donated blood in the middle of this, and it wrecked like the entire month of February into March for me for training. It wasn't a smart idea. But I got under 2 hours. It was like about a decade ago, and I've just been really like content to stay under that. Mm-hmm. I might be kind of close. We'll see.
What was your time last year?
158 and change. Like last year was like so routine and just like, okay, I had a little bit in the bank. I'm really good at running math for the most part in that race. I kind of knew where I was. And
does your watch track your pace to know?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It,
yeah.
Like you can basically have onboard telemetry to tell you what your finish is going to be.
No, it doesn't give you that much. It beeps every mile. It tells me what my mile splits are. What you have to do too is you have to figure out. Luckily, they do a wave start now. They used to just do a big start. So they used to just start all 35,000 people or whatever at the same time. And then your time started when you cross the line. So it's a chip time race. You have to kind of, when you cross the line, you have to look up and take a mental note of how far off of the gun time were you. And so you're doing that math. That gives you something to do during the race is when you pass a mile marker, you look, okay, what's the time? And then how much time do I need to add or subtract? Based on like if I was 3-4 minutes behind the leader starting. And so you're doing that math the whole time to kind of figure out where you need to be. And you have to figure in too that like for that race, a half is 13.1 miles. I've never done under 13.25 for that race. So to run a 2 hour would be like a 9:12. You really need to do it by 9 flat to get there.
Why is it 13.25?
Because races are measured on tangents. So when they measure a race course, they measure the shortest distance possible. So like if you have you have a left-hand turn and then a right-hand turn and it's a four-lane road, the way that they should measure that course is the minute you make that left-hand turn, they should aim directly at the apex of the next turn. And when you're running with 20 or 30,000 other people, you do not have the ability to run tangents because there's a bunch of people around you. So especially the opening section of the race, Washington Street kind of weaves left and weaves right and then makes a right-hand turn. That whole stretch, you're just trying to like maintain a line. So you're following the road. So you're not taking the shortest distance.
Have you checked Travis's math yet? Because I know he sent his maps out to us the other day. Have you checked to make sure that his numbers are right?
I figured he had already.
Yeah. So what's the strategy on the track?
See, the strategy for everybody's a little different. I love the track. I like the track for the simple reason you go onto the track at about 6 miles and you come out of the track and you're at 8.5. So, the backstretch, you come out at the exit of 2 onto the back straight, and that is what's called the Gold Star Mile. So, because everybody wants to have an emotional moment on a racetrack, they have all these pictures of soldiers who passed away, while serving along the back straightaway.
Down in the grass on the left side or something?
Yeah, down the grass on the left side. And then volunteers. And then they have a couple water stops on the track. They don't serve Gatorade or anything because they don't want that stuff on the track. I just enjoy it. Like back straightaway, I come around the north end of the track. I look up and like, there's my section 31 up there. There's my seats. They've got music going on. The TVs are going on. You're kind of forced onto the warm-up strip in the turns because they don't want you to turn your ankle on it. It would be fun to run the banking.
I was wondering about that too.
Yeah, you don't run the banking typically. Okay.
Wanted to? Or are they gonna? Is there a yellow shirt that's gonna shoot you with a paintball gun?
You could. I think some people probably run the very edge of the pavement down there.
You got a little apron
to get around people, but they don't. Most people. It's a shorter line but to if stay you're on the warm-up strap. Thing, yeah. The shortest line is the inside.
Do they measure that or do they measure the
track? Should have measured everything on that. They should, like, literally somebody in theory has walked it with a wheel and has walked it the shortest distance possible. And they've even adjusted at one point. They moved a street to build a parking lot a couple years ago, and they adjusted for that. It's always seemed to be pretty dead on. The only way you know a course is short is if you run it and you didn't run a tangent instead on, and I've had this happen, the course is short. You get done, you're short. You're like, this isn't possible. That is not happening there.
Yeah.
You have to watch out when you're on the race. And when you get on the front straightaway, usually I think it's Frank Short, who's like a kind of a hero of the mini, is usually on the front straightaway with Dave Calabro or somebody doing interviews. You just kind of stay to the inside because people pull off to the right and kiss the bricks. So you have to be aware of that.
Where do you enter and exit? Is it right down by turn one?
You enter gate two, the tunnel that goes into the museum. You come out of, and then you stay to the right around the parking lot for the museum, and you enter at the exit of 2. And you also, when you exit the track, you exit outside. There's a gate next to these turn two suites that they open up, and you go out there. So you enter next at the same point on the track, but you come in from the inside, leave to the outside.
So you start on the backstretch in the track.
Yes, start on the backstretch and in.
That way you're crying immediately.
What are you eating the night before a mini marathon?
I've eaten all kinds of stuff. Like, I'm not super particular. I try to eat spaghetti. I try to eat, like, I'll go to Primo, or if we're a group of us go downtown, we go hit the Milano Inn or someplace like that and eat spaghetti. Morning of, I eat a bagel with peanut butter and yogurt and maybe some applesauce if I can eat 2 hours before. And then I get jelly beans to eat during the race that are for running.
I've found that for my long runs on Saturdays, the best time for me is like wake up, eat a light breakfast, drink some coffee, let it sit for about an hour, and then I feel really good.
I just get up and run in the mornings. I haven't eaten all year before a run.
And then, but like my workout runs, I'd go with just water. And I can definitely tell a difference. Like, I have way more energy if I'm fueled up. What's your mini marathon night before go to?
There's not a specific I'm trying to carb up, but I'm just trying not to eat something real heavy. I don't like for myself anyway. It's just, I like for my stomach to feel a little light, and I have a light breakfast the next morning. One thing that I did on the last one, one of the people I was running with had dates. That worked out pretty well. Keep them in a little Ziploc baggie, and that way they're not smushed in your pocket. But so like something like that, gel pack. I kind of do those, the Cliff gel packs. So
what time do you need to be in your spot for the mini to start?
About 7.
So you have to wake up at 4:15 in the morning?
No, I can get. I have a certain spot I park. I'm kind of fortunate. I get seated. I'm hoping to stay there for next year. If you're in corrals A through D, you're in the corrals where they start the 5K. And because there's a 5K that goes off before, it goes off about 7. You're not allowed there. So you get to hang out a little bit before because you can't get in your corral until they're out. And then they kind of form up and you get in there. A lot of people wait till the last minute. I like to get in there and like get about where I feel like I need to be in there and kind of just chill.
Start intimidating people.
Get cold. No, okay. So I've probably told this story, intimidating people. I was in B one year. My PR is a 139 and change. Years ago, it seems like so long ago. And I was standing in the starting corral and you had to run a sub 140 to get in this corral. And I was like, so proud of myself because there's B and there's A and there's elites. That's it. So I was way up in the front and this guy kind of is like, hey, if I bump into you, I'm real sorry. I'm recovering from brain cancer and my balance is a little bit off. And I was like, what? And he was being so nice and he meant so well, but he crushed me in that moment. I was like, I'm like a healthy 30-year-old, and I'm so happy to be here. And this guy was in his 50s and had brain cancer, or was recovering from brain cancer, and was right there with me, and with evidently
this is make a wish moment. You were in your peak male performance. Gosh.
No, it's not even. It's not even just make a wish. I bet that dude's just a steady Eddie, like endurance running. There's a crew of those guys that have run. They've run 40 marathons. They don't know how many half marathons, and they just go out. And when you blow up, they just pass you. They're Novocaine. They just wear you down. And he was one of those guys. But it was just like, yeah, that was, I'll never forget that moment. He's so nice. But he's like, yeah. And like, you'll see, that's the fun thing about running. It's like when I was at the expo, you see all different kinds of people. And you could try and judge those people on what you think their pace is by looking at them. And chances are, unless they're like a guy, one of the pros, you might be wrong because you see people that are, don't like their fast at all and they'll blow by it. And you see people that are like super fit and they're back there running 3 hours because that's what their race is. They're not fast. They're just there to have fun.
The other thing I notice about races too is it's all ages. I mean, you see people at these doing half marathons and even the full marathon that I did that are, I mean, way up in years. And it's like, wow, can I still do that whenever I'm 70 some years old? You know, I don't know. I hope so.
Yeah.
That's the whole goal. That's the whole reason I train is just you can say it's like, oh, I want to live a long time, but it's like, I want to live a long time, but I want to be out doing stuff
right.
that I like to do whenever I'm in my late 70s.
Right. Keep moving. Yeah. Yeah. It's always impresses me whenever I see these people that are really running a pretty good pace too. They're not just, you know, poking along. They're moving pretty good and pretty impressive.
So, Travis, are you running the Indy Mini?
Yeah.
This will be your first time.
This will be my first time.
Yep. What are your expectations going into it? Is it the track that has you like most intrigued?
Well, the track is definitely probably the most. Yeah, I would say, but it's just the overall atmosphere. Like I said, I've only seen it on TV. So, and you see, like you said, Dave Calabro or Amory Tiernan or something like that doing interviews and. So you see the Kiss the Bricks and all that.
It sounds like it's a constant festival as you're going along. You've got bands, you've got people, you've got
IU cheerleading squad. A couple Purdue cheerleading squad will be there. A couple of the high school, Arsenal Tech, wherever. Some of those will be the high schools around. The most incredible thing is that 10th Street, you're never by yourself, like ever, unless you're an elite. And even them, they're really the very best of the best. You always got other people around. And the most kind of humbling parts is that 10th in hole you go through twice. And so the second time you come through, you are at about mile 9.25, 9.5 or so. And there are people that are turning to go into Speedway. So they're at 4.5. You're 4.5. Same thing when you go into the track. As you go into the track, you see people coming off the track. And you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so far behind those people. And at the same time, when you leave the track, you look and there's the same mass of people coming in. You're just in this huge group. And you end up on 10th Street. And it's like 1.5 miles. And it's the longest 1.5 miles of your life. Going back, it feels like 5 miles of the race.
Looking forward to that.
But yeah. I didn't realize how short it was till they had a map of the track with like a huge one at the expo one year. And I was standing next to a buddy. I was like, that's the longest 1.5 miles of my life. And he's like, no kidding, man. Because you turn onto it at like about 9.5 and you come off before you get to 11. But it's a straight line, but it's a slow downhill. And there's a couple of railroad crossings on there, and you kind of bump up, and you look out, you just see a sea of bobbing heads. And you can see the traffic light that you're eventually going to turn on, and you've got a few minutes before you get there. But you're like, there are so many people. It's just a never-ending stream of people. And you get a couple of times to see that, because you see that then, and the home stretch is about 1 mile. When you turn on New York, you're 1 mile out. And that's just one big stretch with trees and people everywhere. And, you know, there's bands and people out in the front doors with cowbells, ringing the cowbells for people. And
That atmosphere is what's intrigued me, because my parents used to do it every year. And I told my dad that I was going to sign up for the Newcastle Mini Marathon. And I told him, like, my goal is to be sub 2 hours, but I really want to be pushing that 1 hour and 50 minute mark as much as I can. And he was like, he was so confident. He's like, oh, you could do that now. And I'm like, I don't think I could. And my dad not train at all, but then he'd go out to the 500 Festival Mini and he'd run a 2 hour half marathon and just
no training, just
nothing.
Show up and run.
And
dad's one of those people that drives me up.
It's like, and he's like,
there are people that are
just
wired
that
way.
The atmosphere was what he attributed it to. He's like, you get out there, there's so much energy.
You just get the energy and go.
You're just trying to, you're keeping up with people and just having a really good time. And then he's like, all of a sudden, you've gone 9 miles.
And then your dad will
pound
5 Mick Ultras at lunch.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It breaks down very nicely because it's an out and back with the racetrack in the middle. And so it breaks down like, okay, you get to Speedway. Speedway is turned into a super cool area. There's all kinds of people down through Speedway. A lot of families go to Speedway. Miraculously, you will see people you know because there's so many people that run it. My old RA is a DJ, and he was in a DJ truck for Red Bull outside the track last year. And I hollered at him, and he was super excited to see me and was yelling at me through the DJ booth. And miraculously, a couple of times I've caught Jeff during the mini and seen him and ran him down and said, hey man, come on, let's go. And I've run somebody else down before I know. So miraculously, you see people, you know, on the course. And like I said, you got to the track and you come out of the track, all of a sudden you're like, if people know the fuel depot that's right outside the track, there's the 15K markers right there. So it's about 9.5. And you're like, okay, I'm just about a 5K out. So you can break it down pretty nicely into chunks.
That's kind of what he said. He was like, you're just running along, and then all of a sudden you're like, I've ran 9 miles. This is nuts.
Are you Corral 1, Travis?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, and it's pretty good for us. We leave at 7:33 is our official start time, I believe.
Yeah.
I think that the real rough thing, my mom has walked it, and I think if you walk it, when you get to the track, at that point you're an hour and 15 minutes in at the track. I think it's a rough time because the hottest I've ever been in the Speedway ever was just on like a 65 degree sunny day because there's a lot of aluminum and it just baked people. But when you're running it, you kind of clear out of there.
You're rolling
it gets
in at
hot.
840.
Yeah. You're getting out of there before it gets too hot.
Yeah.
So
I think it's 50s Saturday morning and then high of 70s.
It can't get cold enough. I'm glad the weather's kind of turned. The last week of weather was horrible, but initially I saw a forecast. It was like 46 and steadily climbed a little bit for the low. It can't be cold enough. It could be flurries.
I ran with my fleece compression shirt on this morning. It was frigid.
I ran a long sleeve today. I would run in a t-shirt no matter what it is. Short sleeve shirt. I will race a short sleeve shirt into the 20s.
So, Zach, how long would it take you to be prepared to drive home after the race? Because you're going to mentally break or physically break yourself.
Usually within like an hour. Usually it's a lot of that's just hanging out with friends. Like I've got some friends that run it. And then if I know some people that are running it and I know I'm going to catch them, I'll try and go out and watch them. If somebody sees a video of me after a race, it's real rough. My legs are doing real fun things. I have like this weird spasm thing that medical professionals came and figure out. Like I literally have nurses that looked at me and like something is wrong with your legs. I'm like, that's what they do. But part of it is once you get up and start moving around, then you're a lot better. Like laying there is actually kind of the worst thing to do. I usually just go wander off and steal some bottles of chocolate milk from the dairy tent. I try and get two and I'll chug a couple of those. I don't really have any desire to eat anything. And then I have to stagger back to where I park my car and I'll complain the whole time, like a little kid about it. And I'll stop and stare at curbs again. But I usually get back and we're usually home by like noonish, 12:30.
Zach Bertram fueled by chocolate milk.
I thought they were giving away shirts today at the expo and it was like enter to win a shirt. I'm like, I don't want to enter to win a shirt. Give me a shirt.
All right. So tell me where you ran with Tony Kanaan.
Tony Kanaan, so that was like a year off my PR, so that was like 2015, something like that. That was my first year of my decline, so I started. Yeah, I blew up and finished with Tony Kanaan. So I ran like a 1:43 that year. I passed him like at the 5K mark.
This is a man that had won the Indianapolis 500 and runs full.
He does triathlons like a beast. Yeah,
you passed him in the race.
He was joking. He was having a good time. He wasn't racing. He was running with Benito, his buddy, and another guy. I don't know who the other guy was. And so I passed him about 5K in. I was thinking to myself, yeah, this could be interesting. I'm passing like a world-class athlete. But he wasn't, like I said, he wasn't pushing. And I think I was wearing his socks. I think I had a pair of Tony Kanaan socks on at the time. And I said, hey, Tony, good luck this month. And he said, hey, thanks, or whatever. And then I blew up eventually. And he ran me down at like mile 12, like in the home stretch, New York. He ran me down. And I knew that my wife was up in the stands taking pictures with the telephoto. And so I was like, now since I've blown up, I'm 4 minutes slower than last year. My goal is to make sure that Tony Kanaan is in this picture. So my wife did not realize what she was doing, but I ran like I was Tony Kanaan's Secret Service agent, like just off his back left shoulder, back right shoulder. I can't remember. I'll find the picture somewhere. I've got it autographed and I just stuck on Tony Kanaan's shoulder for the finish of this race. I had no idea where he went after the race. He just disappeared. They whisked those VIPs off to a room or something. So yeah, I've got a picture where I finished with Tony Kanaan and I got autographed. I think that year, or the next year I printed out an 8x10.
And you creepily had him sign a picture of himself. Did you explain to him what you had done?
No. Cause I didn't, he was on pit lane when I had to autograph it. And I was just like, yeah, I finished with you. And he's just like, he looked at it like, huh. And I was like, oh, I'm right there. And it was like, oh, and he was just like, that's cool. And yeah, he didn't say much because I called him at like, and he's on pit lane at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So it's not
his head was somewhere else.
Talk. But yeah, he was just, he's more of a bike guy, actually. I mean, he does the tries, but I think he's a bike guy more than a running guy.
Last time I talked to you, Travis, you were training for a triathlon.
Yeah, I am. I'm doing the Ironman in Muncie this September. So I'm going to do a lot of sprint triathlons through the summer months, but the big ones, the Ironman Muncie.
Will you practice swimming in Summit Lake?
I will later, but right now it's in the YMCA. Lots of laps in the pool.
Ugh. Swim. I can't imagine an open water lake.
Do you have like waterproof headphones?
I do not, no.
Oh, that's boring. That's got to be rough.
Pool swimming is the equivalent of the treadmill for me.
Yeah.
And it's, I'm not fighting it physically. I'm fighting it mentally. And it's just because of boredom. I mean, it's when you got to get, 1.5 miles and then laps in a pool. That's
at least on a treadmill, you can watch TV. I hate treadmills. I haven't run on a treadmill in like a decade.
Yeah. My headphones died this morning and I was just doing a 5K and I was like, this is the worst.
I don't wear earbuds.
I'm alone with my thoughts. Yeah.
I don't run with earbuds at the Mini. Technically, they're not allowed, but they don't care about that for normal people. That's a US ATF thing or whatever, UT, whatever it is. But you don't need them there. But yeah, like running with music is something I do a lot. I run with one earbud, but like, I'll be like, ugh, my earbuds are dead or whatever. And then you run without them and you're like, this is fine.
That was the question I was going to ask you.
It's not as bad. I don't run with earbuds there just because there's music. It's like a soak up the atmosphere. And then that last stretch, I said that longest mile and a half of your life, it's gets kind of quiet right there. And it's eerie, just the footsteps. It's just, that's all you hear is just the steady, the steady run of footsteps and breathing and stuff. And so, yeah.
About mile nine is when I start to really feel it. Like, and not in a good way. That's about where it's like, okay, I'm doing a half marathon and I feel like I am.
Yeah. That's leaving the track.
Yep.
That's not too bad right there.
So we've talked all of this about the mini marathon in Indy, but we still have a major event coming up in Henry County in September, Travis, that you're promoting.
Yes. Newcastle mini marathon.
You've got some updates for us. You brought some hardware. You want to tell us what these are and how they can achieve this?
Yeah, so this is the finisher medal, and each distance will receive the finisher medal and a t-shirt. But the finisher medal, it's a pretty heavy medal. One thing that I like when I go to an event is I like to get that medal around my neck and it feel like there's something there. And it's, it feels like a sense of accomplishment that you got that. So I definitely wanted to beef it up. But the big inspirations were, as I was even getting involved and just thinking about doing something in our community, because that's where it started, was just I wanted to be involved in the community because I saw all the positive momentum going on in Newcastle, especially our downtown. I thought, well, I like running, and there's not a mini marathon in Newcastle. So this was what I chose to do. But the medal is my running guy logo. Running through on a street, you kind of have like a downtown scene behind him. And then Newcastle is basketball. Basketball lives here is the, you see that places. So you've got the peach basket with the basketball there. So kind of just paying homage to the basketball roots we have here in Indiana.
So you've announced what the routes are.
Mm-hmm.
Remind people where they start and finish this event.
So, yeah, and that's something that's, in January, we weren't 100% sure. It is going to be a downtown start and finish. So it's 15th and Broad, essentially, is the starting area.
Four blocks from the studio.
That's right. So we're going to start and finish there. On the half marathon, we're going to run north first. So you're going to be on Broad Street just for a moment. And get on 14th, and you're going to have a nice downhill, actually a pretty steep downhill down 14th. Go to Washington, go out east to Osborne Park, and then you're going to go north on Hillsborough Road to 150. And actually at 150, there is going to be a little piece of grass that you're going to run on because I wanted to quickly get off of 150 onto the Wilburite Trail. Mm-hmm. So We will do that, and that way that also eliminates some of the sheriff's department that will have to help because that's county. Yeah, so we'll get on the Wilburite Trail, bring that all the way to the Y. From the Y, you'll leave the parking lot, New York, to 11th.
So will they shut down State Road 103 while this is happening?
There will be, I'm not sure exactly who, but there will be an officer at that where you cross the Wilburite Trail over 103 It's not going to be shut down. It'll be just
to more maintain safety.
Yeah, it'll just be more of a watch, just to make sure if we need to stop traffic, we will. And that was actually the big thing in getting the routes approved Monday at the Board of Works meeting was safety has got to be top priority. So we have to make sure that we had buy-in from the city, from the sheriff's department, to be able to provide the resources we needed to make people safe. And that was very quick answer by Mr. Schofield. He was right on it. Whatever you need, we'll get you what you need. So thank you. Thank you to him and the city for doing that.
All right. So then they get to the YMCA.
YMCA, then we'll be heading back towards downtown. So you'll New York to 11th, 11th to Bundy. Bundy, you'll go to the bank down there at Trojan and 3 and kind of go through their parking lot, kind of the backside of their parking lot. So we can get on to Trojan. to Baker Park, South Main, and you'll run down South Main and you'll turn around. So that's how we dialed in our 13.1, is to figure out where on South Main do you have to turn around.
So what's the turnaround point? What, how far south do they go?
Well, it's almost to 300. I mean, it's real close. It's like 0.2 miles from 300. So turn around there. There'll be an aid station there for drinks. That's a, that was a good place to put one. And then South Main back to downtown. So that's the half marathon route. The 5K and 10K routes pretty well overlay the, that route south. So from downtown south, 5K and 10K do not go north of Broad Street.
So for folks that are listening to this that are going, oh my God, I'm going to be trapped at my house. What kind of timeline? How long are these streets going to be closed down for?
So the longest, the South Main is going to be the longest because those, that is going to be half marathoners. It is a run walk. So I don't have any idea how many people are going to walk the half marathon. It's hard to say that. So potentially, I mean, it could be 4 hours of activity.
So you know, Saturday morning, like 8 to noon, maybe people are 7 to 11, somewhere in there.
Yeah. The race starts at 9. And those first people going on to South Main, that will be the 5K people. So, I mean, pretty soon, really after, you know, 9:15, 9:20 range, there'll be people on South Main. So, yeah, South Main, especially from Trojan to downtown, will be pretty congested with runners for the morning of that September 16th.
It's going to be an exciting day.
How many people are you anticipating?
We are hoping for somewhere between 300 to 400.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
So we're, we've been gaining in registrations. What I anticipate happening is people will sign up at the end of August.
You know who hasn't registered yet?
Well, I do know somebody. Do you know who hasn't registered?
I haven't. That,
I look at my...
did you miss your early bird special to Coast Square?
I keep like thinking about it. I'm like, ah, oh, dang it, I need to do that.
Maybe mm-hmm. tonight when I, or tomorrow morning when I look on my events registration thing, I'll see Dakota Davis on there.
I was like, I keep thinking like, I know that Travis, I like keep talking to Travis about running his mini marathon, and he's like, you haven't even signed up yet.
The comment the comment I hear a lot is, well, it's not till September, so I've got till September mm-hmm. to sign up, which in theory, yes, you do.
But you need to start training before that.
Yeah, if you're going to do a half marathon, you need to start training.
Not if you're my dad.
Well, unless you're Jeff Davis, then you just show up and run.
Broken.
Yeah.
I know a couple. I know another guy that's like your dad, and those people frustrate me.
Dakota's been training for 9 months.
No.
He started to train, and he asked Jeff what he needed to be doing. December. Jeff's like, just keep running, dude. We don't need to start yet. He's going to start
Jeff. Yeah, I reached out to Jeff, like, whip me into shape for this half marathon.
It was still last year. I think. And Jeff's like, June.
It's in December. He's like, text me again in June, July. He's like, what?
July's a little late. June, yeah. We're just like, work a base in. You just need to work on a base.
The interesting behind the scenes thing with knowing that people probably will register late. I say late because I know there's a deadline where I've got to order these medals. And the t-shirts aren't as big of a deal, but the medals are. There's a hard date. You gotta order these things by this date.
You just tell these people, if you don't order by this date, damn it, you're not getting a medal.
I mean, a lot of events do that. A lot of events, there'll be t-shirt deadlines, and there'll be, if they have a medal, there's a medal deadline.
There was a medal shortage at the Boston Marathon this year.
And that's my worst nightmare.
How does that happen?
I know, but Mark Bell I was just telling you about, he didn't get one.
You have to qualify for the race. Like, that's a race that they literally pick.
You qualify
this is how many
for.
People we're going to have. Yeah. How do you not have enough?
I don't understand how that happens there. And that would be
That's one of those. I wouldn't give every race that hard of a time, but Boston literally, people don't know, Boston sets cutoffs. And so they'll release numbers and they say, okay, you're at this age, you have to run under this time. And then based on the number of people that apply for each age group, you might have to your qualifying time might be 3 hours and 45 minutes and you might run a 3:44 or 44 or whatever. You're like, I'm good. And then they release afterwards like, oh, sorry, the cutoff was 3:35 because we had so many people apply in age group that were that fast that this is actually how much allotment we had you to run this fast to qualify. So they know because they have vetted their entire field how many people they've got.
Yeah, that would be a sickening feeling for a race director to not have the medals to put on your...
The good thing is the people that run are too quiet, are too tired and too exhausted to fight back.
Yeah, can't bitch about it. Yeah, what are you going to do? Now you're still in the sponsorship mode, right?
Yes.
So I'll help be your salesman here. If people want to get involved, what are the sponsorship opportunities to be a part of the first annual TNT Newcastle Mini Marathon?
Right now, I am specifically looking for people who would want to sponsor the race bibs. And there's a unique thing that the race bibs can do. We can add a perforated tear off at the bottom of it. Some business had a deal that they wanted to offer and say, bring in the tear off for the discount or the free, whatever. That would be an interesting way, a cool way to do that. So race bibs is one way. The award ceremony, I'm trying to get someone to sponsor the award ceremony. So, their logo, their company logos could be the backdrop of the podium. So that's another way. I'm doing age group awards. So, sponsoring the age group awards would be another way. And your business name could be on the award itself. And then banners at the start finish line. So those are some of the, I guess, the big ways, to get involved. But then there's also aid stations. So if a business wanted to have their staff and have a little party at an aid station and just bring your staff and put your banners and, you know, whatever, however you want to decorate it to represent your business, and then hand out water to the people, that'd be another way to do it.
Very good.
Yeah.
Dakota, do you want to do the Dakota Davis Memorial Ball Soccer Liberty 25 to 30 year old age bracket one? Yeah. You can win your own medal.
Yeah, I can win my own medal. Yeah. I'm not going to be winning in that age group, I can tell you that.
Well, not with that attitude.
Just to advocate for some past guests, hey, the Press Coffee Company or Blue River Tap House, those pull tabs are really good for like somebody bringing in for a coffee or a beer.
Yeah.
Can't do beer. Hot dogs.
A hot dog, right.
Yeah.
Be a hot you dog. Know what? I'll tell you what, though.
After dollar the mini, off a Chicago
after,
dog.
After the mini, I can go get a free beer. They hand them out. I'm telling you, that's a sanctioned event that's got police officers everywhere, and Michelob Ultra will give you a free beer after the mini marathon.
I plan on having
well, you my can have wife, samples.
Yeah.
I sample. Plan on having my wife ready at the finish line with a couple of Miller Lights to celebrate.
I want to see pictures of Dakota.
I feel like Dakota can just walk straight into Primo and go have himself a nice little cocktail.
I know my distances. And Travis just described a race with a 5K finish line because from White Estates to downtown is about a 5K. So once you turn the corner, just start running harder.
Yep.
All right.
It's almost all downhill except for that uphill section right there by my house.
It's all downhill.
Pretty flat. It's uphill. Yeah.
If I wasn't going to be right in Indianapolis in Speedway for the IMSA race, I would absolutely be there at Jeffrey and Maine cheering people on. I can see the race from my driveway.
I was about to say,
driveway.
I could just stop by your house.
Yeah, you can raid my beer fridge if you want.
Okay.
Just pop in. You know the code.
Yeah.
Just leave the door unlocked in case he has to hit the bathroom or something.
Yeah. You can take a swim if you want to. I don't care.
I'll get my mom out in the front yard with a hose just to spray people down.
Yeah. That'd be
spectacular.
Fun. That would be a lot of fun.
All right, so Travis, to sign up, what website are they going to?
They're going to tntendurancesports.com. And that's where you can register. Or they can go to the Facebook page, TNT Endurance Sports, and you can find the registration there too.
I know it's uncouth to talk money, but if somebody wants to participate in a prestigious event like the Newcastle Mini Marathon, what is the current entry fee?
The half marathon, I believe, is at $49 right now.
$49.
I think it's $49.
And it comes with a t-shirt, a bib, and a medal.
Yes, t-shirt, medal, and it's a chipped bib race, so you'll have an official time.
And a story to tell for a generation.
That's right.
All right. Well, and I mean, there's something else. The thing that's special about the medals is, you know, right now we're hoping that this continues annually every year, but you're never again going to be getting the Newcastle Bicentennial Celebration Mini Marathon medal.
That is correct. This is the Bicentennial for Newcastle, so we wanted to put that into the medal.
You're an official event now for the Bicentennial Committee.
We are an official event. Yeah, we're working with the NC23 people, and we'll be around at their events. They've got several events that are happening through the year. A couple I know of is June 10th. There's an ice cream social. And July 30th, they're calling it the All Newcastle Family Reunion. So those will be a couple of events that they specifically are putting on, that we'll be a part of. But most, the one that's coming up the soonest is May 26th is, First Friday. So the Newcastle Main Street folks are doing the First Fridays again. We're working with them as well. So we'll be set up there you can sign you up on the spot at that event. I think the Jack's Donut Hole Eating Contest is that night too. Is the guy coming?
Joey Chestnut?
Joey Chestnut, is he coming?
I would hope so.
I mean, I've heard he is.
I hope so.
That's the rumor. I've not heard anything official.
It is Carb Day in Newcastle. They will be having Jack's Donuts.
Yeah. I heard last year they were kicking around doing an amateur contest as well. Is that really happening?
I don't know. We can start that rumor. You heard it here in Boss Hog.
They said that last year. I don't know if... I would assume that there's quite a bit of liability involved with that because someone could just choke to death or...
Oh, you could choke to death on a Jack's Donut anytime.
Someone's diabetic and they don't know it yet, and then they kill themselves.
They've got EMS right there. You'll be fine. Go for it, Dakota.
I would do it if someone told me. That's what I'm getting at. I would absolutely do it.
I mean, they'll just have you sign a waiver.
I would just...
Why are all of these cool events happening? See, here's the thing that events in Speedway, Indiana. This is my conflict.
Here's the thing that I think that the pro eaters missed. You take them because they serve them in sections, and that's how they keep track. So just put them all in your hands.
Just combine it.
Squish it all together.
Crush it
like a hot dog, and then
yeah, you're gonna choke to death.
Because I imagine if you shove a bunch in your mouth, I bet it sucks the moisture out of your
mouth. Dakota's going to cause a blockage.
Yeah. Yeah. I've always wondered how, like, Joey Chestnut and those guys, what the after party looks like for them. I bet they're just back there throwing up.
It's got to be ugly.
Constant.
It's got to be worse than Dakota or Zach after the mini marathon. All right. Let's work our way into final thoughts because we're starting to push the boundaries here of time and space. Zach Burcham, have you been watching the CW lately?
Yeah, I missed the beginning of it, though, because I watched it live via antenna. But I watched the 100 Days to Indy. I apparently missed all the shirtless Joseph Newgarden that was going on the CW there. I need to catch up on that.
The thirst trap that is Joseph Newgarden.
Yeah, I did hear a fun interview with Jared Hildebrand where he said, I work with the same trainer. We're in almost the same shape. He's like, I can compete with Joseph in almost every metric. And he's like, and I don't look like that. And I have to figure out for my trainer why I don't look like that guy.
Needs his money back.
Yeah.
Are you aware of the show yet, Dakota?
Nope.
100 Days to Indy.
Oh, I've heard you talk about it.
On because I'm old, apparently I have an old soul, I keep thinking it's the WB, but it's the CW, which is Wish TV in Indiana.
It's been the CW now. My whole life.
back when Zach and I were kids, there was UPN 23 and the WB 29 and Channel 4 were the WB. And then somewhere along the way, they all vaporized and became the CW. Just so you know. But anyway, I've been struggling with that as the show's been on that network. I want to call it the WB. I make a Facebook post about it and then I go, God dang it. I have to go back and edit it. So it's Thursday nights, 9 o'clock, and then I think they replay it on Sunday nights.
Yes, or on the CW.
It's like a 6-episode miniseries.
I forgot what day it is. It is Thursday.
It's tonight. Yeah, starts in 20 minutes. Or you can catch it on the app. If you don't get the CW, like YouTube TV customers like me, you gotta go. You gotta go catch it in the app. All right. What else you got for final thoughts, Zachary?
Broad Street Cruise this weekend. Weather actually looks not awful on Saturday. If you want to see me hobbling, come to Broad Street Saturday night. I'll be down there. Last year I walked from home, which is a bit over a mile, to loosen the legs up. But I'll be down there on Broad Street. It's supposed to be 71 degrees in the afternoon and sunny, which is delightful. So yeah, that's about the only thing I've got there. It's just Broad Street Cruise. And if you're friends with me on Facebook, my wife will probably post a picture of me looking nearly dead.
I look forward to it every year.
About 9:45 or 10 o'clock.
Travis, will you do your horrible picture selfie style, or do you have somebody that's going to take the picture of you?
My wife will be down there cheering me on, and she's the photographer. So, yeah.
Looking forward to it.
I am.
any final thoughts? Spirit.
Yeah. One final thought just about the day of the event, the Newcastle Mini Marathon. The bicentennial celebration is part of that. McKinley Brown, you guys have had her on recently.
Big fans.
Yeah, she is going to sing the national anthem, and then she is also going to do a post-race concert. And I'm hoping to possibly announce some surprises with that. But she is for sure going to be here doing that.
Is that going to be in 1400 Plaza?
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, that's a spectacular that's cool. use of it.
Yeah, so the night before is the concerts. There's a concert series event down in the Arts Pavilion. That will be our packet pickup night. You can do same day pickup as well, but we're going to set up at that event and try to just make it a little party atmosphere, to the night before and then the day of. We're going to have a DJ, doing the music and getting the pump up the jam. maybe Dakota can help me with the playlist.
That's a call back to Patreon, patreon.com/BossHogOfLiberty.
Dakota, you got anything for final thoughts?
I do. First of all, my wife is going to be set up at the Newcastle Farmers Market on Saturday.
She's not even a farmer.
Saturday morning. Her permit got approved.
Seems like stolen valor to me. Tell you.
She can accept.
I mean, you have chickens, but unless she's selling eggs, I'm not sure this is appropriate.
We are not permitted to sell eggs. Let's not. don't even start the rumor. I don't want to have to deal with any of that. This is a long process you have to go through to sell your eggs.
All right.
Henry County.
So the Dainty Daisy will be selling at the
Newcastle Farmers Market. She'll be up there selling her handcrafted cups and pens and assorted goods for most of the morning. I mean, she'll be there the whole time. Yeah.
Is that just this week, or is it going to be every week?
Well, she is approved for the whole thing. And she does have, she's got business insurance and stuff. So she can go up whenever she wants, but I don't think she's going to be there every week.
For now, it's this week.
Right. For now, it's this week. Let's see. I had a couple of things. I was going to give a shout out to Dakota Hart, but I already did that at the front of the episode.
You going
to
do any picking at the Highway 38 sale? Cade Coger's favorite event of the year.
No, I will be camping.
Ugh.
Me and Jackson are going camping.
So. 38 sales, man. That's Darwinism at its finest right there.
I'm conflicted because I enjoy a good deal, and I'm very jealous of Zach Burcham and his milk crates he has to carry.
My wife is going with my grandma. Yeah.
Zach has these milk crates he carries around that he puts propane tanks in. And I think, my God, I'd love to have one of those. And I could probably find it at the Highway 38 yard sale.
It's a perfect opportunity.
But I do not have the mental patience for the traffic and the people to try to navigate Highway
38. The 7-year-old retirees chain smoking Marlboros, walking right out from between two cars in front of you on a state highway.
Arguing over nickels. How many? I want that.
I never even stop. It's just the Frogger.
How much is that ashtray? Yeah.
it's just the people that just walk in front of cars and just act like this isn't a state highway.
I love yard sales. I love picking up weird things that you find. Some weird mug that someone's grandpa had. You're like, that's pretty cool. It's coming home with me for 50 cents.
I thought you were buying a cigar box. It's bought grandpa in his ashes.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry. I'll take a nickel off that mug. It's got a chip that. Because Papa dropped it when he took his last breath, and it's like that's his last cup of coffee was in that mug. 25 cents. Here you go.
I found so many cool things at yard sales over the years.
Well, as I said, this year I would love to acquire 2 to 3 milk crates so that I could put my propane tanks.
Opportunity.
I think I inherited all mine.
Yeah. I mean, listen, you could steal them. I guess I could go to Kroger and just walk out.
I don't know where mine
them.
Came from. Yeah. They're handy.
Final thought for me real quick. I know that our boy Ben Ham from the press is having his first Coffee 101 class on Friday night. And I'm planning on attending. So
you're going to be a coffee snob now.
5:30 at the press. It's date night. You go to their website. You can sign up, RSVP. I think it's $20 to attend.
So try to give them a shout out, support the people that have been a part of this show. So if you haven't, if you enjoyed that episode and you want to learn more, want to try, I think $20 gets you a few different samples and maybe a cup of coffee to go. So it seems like a hell of a deal. Anything else? We forget anything?
Show is on Monday next week.
Yeah. And what number is that one going to be?
Episode 300.
Episode 300. We are burying it on Monday night so that nobody hears it. Yep. It's race week, right? Next week is we have an IndyCar race to go to, Zach.
Yeah. We're working around many schedules.
We are shuffling, answering the bell, finding a way to produce a show almost each and every week since 2017. It's unreal. Time flies, man.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook, my sister sends me a text this morning, a time hop. I bought my house 10 years ago this week.
Ooh.
10 years. I've been a homeowner.
I mean, I got corrected for people that want to feel old. I saw it must have been at least a 98 GMC Sonoma on historic tags. just an S10 from my childhood. I could have driven in high school. I could have gotten my driver's license and bought that thing brand new. And it was on historic tags.
Yeah. All of my Facebook friends from elementary school are turning 40.
Yeah.
Right now. It is... Every day I open my computer up, and another classmate is having their 40th birthday.
Between that and my classmates having senior Sundays for their kids,
it's a hell of a time.
Times are flying.
It's a hell of a time to take some ibuprofen. All right, with that we say thank you guys very much. We'll be back next week with episode number 300, special guest to be announced Monday night.